Back in 1958, a small community in Pennsylvania built a little red brick building. The little building would house their fire department and police department and act as their city hall. They were so proud of that little building. When the building was completed, they had a big ribbon cutting ceremony, and they estimated more than 6,000 people were there, the whole population of the town. Well, within 2 months, ominous cracks began to be noticed on one side of the building. Soon they noticed the windows would not close all the way. Then the doors wouldn't close, and eventually the floor shifted, leaving gaps in the corners. The roof began to leak. After about 6 months of being in the building, they had to close the building and have it condemned to the embarrassment of the builders and the anger of the town. An engineering firm did an analysis for the town to see what had happened. They found that the blast from a nearby mining area was slowly but effectively destroying the building. Imperceptibly, down deep beneath the surface, there were small shifts and changes taking place that caused the foundation of the building to shift and crack. You couldn't feel it, but it was happening. The building was condemned, ultimately had to be demolished. It was a tragedy. An even greater tragedy is that something similar can happen in your life. Small shifts take place. The foundation of your life cracks and it shifts. No one notices it at first. It cannot be seen on the surface. But deep down, a shift, a weakening occurs, and ultimately, destruction comes. You can prevent that from happening, though, in your life. You can be sure to guard your integrity, to keep the shift from occurring. This morning, we're going to look at some principles of integrity to check for a shift in your life. We're going to look at principles of integrity. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. And as you find Proverbs 4, remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. The first principle of integrity is watch over your heart. Watch over yourself. Watch over who you really are. Integrity is simply no distance between what you say and what you do, what you say you believe and how you live your life. No distance. And in the Bible, the heart is the center, is your mind, your personality, the central focus of your life. It is who you are. It is the part beneath the surface, your heart. And your heart is the source of your motives, the seat of your emotions. It's the center of your thought processes, the spring of conscience. It is who you are. And Solomon said, watch over your heart. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. In Matthew 12, he said, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. And the good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. So watch over your heart. Watch over your heart. This summer, at a picnic, there's going to be one thing that I would bet you money if you were a betting person. If I were a betting person, I would bet you money that you'll see somebody doing. They're going to be standing over the food and they're going to be shooing flies. You know, that which was born in dead, decaying matter, which lives in dead, decaying matter, is going to come land on the food that you're about to eat. Shoo, fly, shoo. Ooh. Watch over your heart, because if you're not careful, that dead, decaying matter will be in your heart. So just how is your heart? What is it that you treasure? Tell me what you treasure and I'll tell you how your heart is. I paid some attention this year for really the first time in a long, long time to how the NFL draft went. I wanted to see how the young man who played quarterback for Clemson, oh, by the way, they were national champions this year, weren't they? Oh! I hope Deshaun can make it on the $8 million signing bonus. But the truth of it is what I fear for him and all the others that instantly became more wealthy than they ever could conceive of, is that most of them will end up bankrupt before they're 40. Because what's going on in their heart will be expressed. I did a little research. I think it was Mike Tyson that they said through his boxing career only earned $300 million and he filed bankruptcy. I guess he bought too many pet tigers. Now, who in the world? Who in the world? But see, it's coming up out of the heart. It's what's going on in his life. It's what's going on in your heart and life that matters. So pay attention to your heart. Pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. Are you pleasant? Are you building up? Are you positive? Are you speaking good words to people? Or is everything that comes out of your mouth acidic, tearing down, negative, evil? How's the heart of this church? We've been looking at the church, what Paul said to the Corinthian church about how the church is supposed to be and how we're to live and what we're to be based on. We are to be about the gospel, the good news that there is redemption and righteousness in Christ. But how's the heart of this church? What do we as a church treasure? Do we really treasure Christ and the message of that good news? What happens when a Christian sins? When the heart gets out of place? Understand this, that if you truly are repentant, born again by the Spirit, follower of Jesus, when you do sin, your legal standing with God has not changed, because Paul said there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Salvation is not based on your merit, but it is a free gift of God. Christ died for your sins. What does happen is that your fellowship with God is disrupted, and your Christian life ultimately is damaged. God does not cease to love you, but He is displeased with you, and if He's displeased with you, what He may need to do is discipline you for your own good. Now, I don't know about you, but I never have liked discipline. Not when D. Ray Brown looked me in the eye. He never did point his finger, but he could walk down the hall, flip on the light, and get his belt off quicker and smoother than any man known to mankind. And I never did like it when I finally got up out of the belt stage of life and he just would talk to me. But you know what? It was for my good. And when the Holy Spirit disciplines you, it is for your good. So if we decide that we're not going to watch over our heart and we're not going to pay attention to what God says and we're going to do things our own way, and you truly are a believer, then He's going to discipline you. Has He had to discipline you lately? If you say no, then are you really a believer in Christ? Or are you just playing church? Watch over your heart. Watch over your heart. That's the first principle of integrity. The second principle of integrity is do not practice deceit with your mouth. Do not distort the truth. Do not say anything that is crooked as opposed to the straightness of truth. Truth is straight. It's right down the line. My father used to say that some people lied so often they began to believe the lie. And remember back when you were the age of some of these guys down here, that if you told the one lie, guess what you had to do not very far down the line? You had to tell a second lie to cover up the first lie. And if you told a second lie, you had to tell the third lie to cover up the second lie to cover up the first lie. And if you told, and do you remember all the lies you told in that process? And then you were caught. So don't lie. Don't practice deceit. Don't exaggerate what happened. Don't talk perverse or corrupt talk. So watch over your mouth. I was hearing somebody talking about they grew up in a meat market the other day. There was a lady went into a meat market. She was going to have company over, and she was going to make a chicken, some sort of a meal out of chicken. And so she asked the man for a chicken, and he had one, and he put it up on the scales, and it was like 4 pounds, and she said, thought for a minute, I don't know if that's enough. Do you have another one? And he only had the one, but he rummaged around down in the case, and he came out with another one. Well, no, it was the same chicken. But this time he kind of put his finger on the scales. 6 pounds. Well, the lady thought for a minute more, and she said, I'll tell you what, I'll take both of them. Well, you've been caught in the same kind of situation almost, haven't you, at times? If you practice deceit, are you one to always tell the truth? Or would you lie to get yourself out of trouble or to make yourself look better? What about all those things that are called white lies? You've heard some of these. The check is in the mail. I'll start my diet tomorrow. Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. Money cheerfully refunded. One size fits all. This hurts me more than it hurts you. I just need 5 minutes of your time. Your table will be ready in a few minutes. Open wide, it won't hurt a bit. Well, another aspect of telling the truth, as it especially applies to the church, is what we say we believe. George Barna and others who have surveyed the drift in evangelical conviction says that evangelicalism is redefining itself doctrinally. From its view of the self, 77% of evangelicals say that man is basically good by nature. Can I say that you are not good by nature? You are corrupt by nature. You have a sinful, defiant nature. You're not good. To its views of salvation, evangelicals' view of salvation, 87% insist that in salvation, God helps those who help themselves. Can I say to you that that is wrong, 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 wrong too, as well? We can say we believe it, but we would be practicing deceit because the Bible does not say those things. As a church and as individuals, we are to speak the truth, biblical truth. We are to do so with grace. We're to do so with grace. We need to be careful that we do not, as a church, become a bunch of Pharisees. But we also need to be careful that we do not drift away from God's word, from the truth of God's word. You remember the old bumper sticker? I haven't seen one in a long time, but the bumper sticker went something like this: God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Can I suggest to you that that middle line is totally irrelevant, whether you believe it or not? If God said it, that settles it. Be careful what we say. Be sure you are not pronouncing lies. And that is the second principle of integrity. The third principle of integrity is be careful what you fill your life with. Be careful what you fill your life with. The first area mentioned in this in that passage is the external stimulation that you put or allow into your life. The analogy is where you allow your eyes to go. And men, I got to say to you, be careful, be careful, be careful. Be careful where you allow your eyes to go. Straight ahead, Solomon said, is where they should be. The second area is your walk, your associations. Remember what Psalm 1 said, that blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. Because where you go will determine where you end up. And remember that garbage in equals garbage out. So be careful of what fills your life. What you listen to, what you watch. Have you noticed that these kids, like these kids down here, that were down here earlier, that they will repeat what they hear? What their lives were filled with. When one of ours was small, and none of them live around here close, and so but that's still to maintain deniability. When one of ours was small, it was like a Saturday afternoon, and it was lunchtime, and I went to the refrigerator, and I said, "Do you want this to eat, or would you eat this, or whatever?" And the child spoke up and said, "Well, what about that we had the other night?" I said, "We ate all that." "Well, why the hell did we do that?" Well, guess what? They'd been at a babysitter's. And guess what they heard? They didn't hear it from me and they didn't hear it from Kim. But it was what was filling their mind. It was what was filling their life. And what came in came out. Do the people you are around direct you toward, cheer you on toward Christ, or away from Christ? Now, oftentimes in the work world, you can't control that always. Sometimes you have to be around people that are not going to cheer you on or direct you toward Christ. But who do you hang with when you do have a choice? It's been said, choose friends with care because you become what they are, and that is true. So what are your friends like? What kind of stimulations do you allow into your life in terms of TV and books and magazines and the internet? And again, men, what do you look at on your phone? I want us to look at an example. Turn with me, if you've got your Bible, and I trust you do, to Genesis chapter 20. It's just a little case study in integrity. Now Abraham journeyed from there toward the land of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. Then he sojourned in Gerar. Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister." So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is married." Now Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, will you slay a nation even though blameless? Did he not himself say to me, 'She is my sister'? And she herself said, 'He is my brother'? In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands I have done this." Then God said to him in the dream, "Yes, I know that in the integrity of your heart you have done this. And I also kept you from sinning against me, therefore I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all you who are yours. What's interesting in that little passage is that there's a lot of problem with integrity on both sides. Abraham and Sarah were in some way related besides being husband and wife. But he said, oh, tell them you're my sister. So Abimelech, and God came to him. And I don't know what's going on in your heart and life today, but I'm going to say to you that God's coming to you today and questioning you about your integrity. Are you living out what you say you believe?